The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
And the news was brought to you on KCNR, Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
And good morning. This is Free Fire Radio, community radio for the North State, KCNR 1460 Free Fire Radio. This is not Carl and Linda, and it's not Thursday either. So if you're still confused, it's only Tuesday. This is Trish Clark. Carl and Linda are off on a sojourn to celebrate Linda's birthday in New York. Lost my train of thought. And so I'm going to be here with you again this morning. Yesterday we had a great day with Jim Anderson. I hope you all enjoyed that. And this morning, Albertson. He said that yesterday and he got me off. And it's Albertson, not Jim Anderson. Jim Albertson. Jimbo. We all know him. And so this morning I'm joined in the station with my co-host for the morning for 2 hours. We're going to be here from 7 to 9. And I have Anderson Fire Protection District Chief Steve Lowe.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. We're going to be talking about kind of some Anderson stuff and some fire department stuff. And hope you will join us. Jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com. And if you have a question for the chief or myself or anything you'd like to talk about, give us a call at 605-4567. 63 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 87, a low of 60. Excuse me. I'm looking at the weather here, and it just went away on me. Okay, here we go. For tomorrow, it's going to be 84 and a low of 60. And on Thursday, a high of 78 and a low of 58. On Friday, high of 73 and a low of 55. And on Saturday, 82 and 56. And we're looking for clouds, a chance of thunderstorms as we go through the week, but maintaining this wonderful, balmy spring weather that I'm just loving. We hope that it lasts for a while yet and we don't get into those triple digits. The weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally and veteran-owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. And, of course, we've got Bob Blanja here with us this morning. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. Beautiful day. And driving around, it's not nearly as scandalous as it sounds. I'm in my Jeep, topless. love having a soft-top Jeep.
Well, and this time of year, that's great. How does that work out for you, though, when we get into our hundreds?
Well, I grew up, you know, in a car with no real air conditioning in it. We had 255 air conditioning. You rolled down the windows and went 55.
There you go.
I'm getting a sun top for the Jeep to protect from the worst of the sun. And other than that, I'm hopefully home from my early morning job before the real, you know, afternoon heat kicks in.
Yeah, I have a little Suzuki Samurai that I tow behind my RV, and it does not have air conditioning in it. I just actually recently put a hard top on it. I'm not much of a convertible type person, and I don't do sun really well, and I converted it to a hard top, and I really like that a whole lot better. Yeah, there you go. You got the sun hat. So, Chief Lowe, you're officially the chief of the Anderson Fire Protection District now for 5 months, 4 months?
Since March 13th.
Oh, okay. But you've been with the Anderson Fire Protection District for how many years?
I started in 2002 as an ROP ride-along student through high school, and I never left.
Oh, my gosh. So you are pretty familiar with the Anderson Fire Protection District, how it operates, and the things that we've gone through as a district in the last many years.
Yeah, very familiar. Currently, if you're a registered voter within the fire district, you've probably received a survey in the mail. And what this survey basically tells you is that we have a parcel tax that's currently in place and that every parcel within the district pays $20. Whether you're Walmart or a private residence, you're paying $20 for our services.
And more importantly, that $20 is targeted. It can't be used for anything but equipment.
Yes, it's earmarked and it goes into our account, and we can only use it for certain things. It's not discretionary funding, so we can't use it to, you know, hire more people. Not that we could anyway, because with that money, we have about 4,100 parcels within the district that we collect that $20 on, so it only brings in about $80,000 a year. That's not enough to even cover one person with all of the, you know, PERS requirements and benefits and all that and hourly wages. So we sent this survey out with hopes to poll the voters, and ask to increase the parcel tax to $150 per residence, and then based on square footage of commercial buildings and so on and so on. So there's two sample ballots that went out, or surveys. One of them is a 12-question survey that kind of lays out the 12 questions if people would be willing to pay more for certain things and if they actually know what we do and how we do it currently. And there's a information fact sheet that went out with it that kind of just talks about the district and that this parcel tax has been in place since the 70s. And other than property tax, we get a portion of that every year. We don't get any other funding from any other sources. So, you know, with the city growing, us not being a part of the city, I know there's a lot of stuff out there about the city with their half-cent sales tax, but, you know, it's not a hit on the city or anything, but we aren't part of the city. We don't get any funding from the city. We're trying to work on some of those things. It's just the way it's been set up forever. We'd like to partner with the city more on certain things, but currently that half-cent sales tax pays for the law enforcement for the police department and through the general fund. So we don't receive any of that money.
Well, and that's an important distinction. We need to make it clear to people. A lot of people do not understand that the Anderson Fire Protection District is a total separate entity. It's a special district formed under the laws of the state of California. The property tax under the original property tax many, many years ago was set down, and each special district, city, and county got a portion of that special district or that community or property tax back in Prop 70. What was the one that protected our property taxes?
72.
Prop 72. Okay, when it was passed, it took the control of that property tax. Not only did it freeze our property taxes and make them so that they couldn't just arbitrarily go up year after year, it also froze those property taxes to the districts and turned them into the cities and counties and turned the control of that over to the state of California. Many years later, they came back and decided that they were going to use those property tax funds to do other things other than distribute them in the manner they had. As a result of that, all of the special districts, cities, and counties took a hit on the amount of property tax they got. We got less than we had before, and the state now uses those funds for schools and other obligations that they had that they were responsible for. That's background, but it's important to note that the amount of property tax we get is minimal. I mean, it's not a lot of money.
I believe the math works out to like it's 0.02%. that we receive from property tax within the district. So it's not a lot of money. A lot of people don't understand that we're no different than a cemetery district or a water district. We're a special district. So our funding, we get what we get, and we have to learn to live within those means. Well, unfortunately, it's 2018. Things in the department haven't been changed in so many years that we're now trying to move into the 21st century and bring up our staffing levels to the current national standard, which is having 4 personnel on a fire engine. So when you know, and most people don't understand that there's a rule in place by OSHA. It's called the two-in, two-out rule, that when you show up to it's just a residential structure fire, you have to have 4 people there. You have to have 2 people to go inside and 2 people outside in case those guys get injured to bring them out. So it's people don't understand that. So currently we have 2 people on an engine, and when we show up, even though we have a chief officer on the way as well, we have to rely on our mutual aid partners, which we will always have to rely on mutual aid because there's just not enough resources in Northern California to combat a fire by ourselves. So we have to rely on our mutual aid partners. But with this, hopefully we can at least get the 4 people on an engine so we can go right to work when we get to fires like that.
Okay, so we're gonna go into each one of those details at some depth here so that you have a good understanding of the issues we're facing down there in the district. And hopefully we can entice the registered voters in the Anderson Fire Protection District to support us when we go to the ballot in November to get this approved. Right now we're going to take a break, and we'll be back on the other side.
It is 7:14. Make that 7:15 on KCNR's Free Fire Radio. By the way, Carl and Linda will be back tomorrow. For those of you who are curious, this is a celebration of Linda's birthday that is taking her dream trip to New York City. Hey, this portion of the program brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, located in the heart of downtown Reading, recipient of the 2012 Health Grades Patient Safety Excellence Award. They are a certified chest pain center, primary stroke center, and they earn the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community's choice.
Hi, I'm Shasta County Sheriff Tom Basanko. I've had the privilege of serving as your sheriff since 2006. With 39 years of law enforcement experience, I'm dedicated to public safety. No doubt, these are difficult times. We currently lack the number of deputies and jail space to serve our community. However, I've been relentless in the recruitment and retention of personnel to accommodate county needs. The Board of Supervisors recently accepted my plan to move forward with an increase of 60 jail beds, raising the capacity of the jail, and as chair of the Drug Task Force, we are working to address drugs in our communities. There are many issues facing our community, including homelessness, and there is no short-term solution. However, I am dedicated to the long haul. This is a time for experience and knowledge to do the job for you. With your support, our community can meet the challenges we are facing. I ask for your support and your vote on June 5th.
Paid for by the Committee to Re-elect Tom Basanko, Sheriff 2018.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, and I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill, or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
For some, yard work isn't a chore. It's a passion. If you're someone who loves being outside and takes pride in your lawn, then you need the Honda HRX, one of the most technologically advanced walk-behind mowers on the planet. The HRX features the VersaMow system, a unique 4-in-1 system that lets you bag, mulch, discharge, or shred leaves with no attachments. Then there's Honda's exclusive MicroCut twin blade cutting system, which gives you finer clippings for more bagging capacity, or when mulching, finer clippings that actually help feed your lawn. Plus, the HRX's handle and controls are ergonomically designed to be comfortable on your hands. A limited lifetime warranty on the Nexsight deck and an impressive 5-year limited warranty on the mower make the HRX one of the best values anywhere. To learn more, just visit Honda.com. Better yet, come see the Honda HRX at Lee's Honda, 2230 Larkspur Lane in Reading. Serving the North State from the same location since 1967, online at Lee'sHonda.com.
May is First Responder Month, and KCNR 1460 joins with our community in a salute to law enforcement, fire, and medical personnel.
I want to thank our first responders in Shasta and Tehama County. The lives you save and the property you protect help us enjoy our wonderful Northern California outdoors. This is Jeff Avery, State Farm Insurance Agent, and I want to thank you again for all you do.
To those who run toward danger when the alarm sounds, a heartfelt thank you from your community and Free Fire Media.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
And now, back to our show.
This portion of Free Fire Radio is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive in Reading. Only full-service jewelry store in Reading, 222-2750, and they have long time been a proud sponsor of Free Fire Radio.
And welcome back. This is Free Fire Radio, community radio for the North State. This is Trish Clark. Lyndon Carl will be back tomorrow. I'm joined in the studio this morning with Chief Steve Lowe, the Anderson Fire Protection District, and we're talking about a ballot measure that's going to be coming before the voters in the Anderson Fire Protection District in November. Kind of give us the boundaries of that district.
Our current boundaries for the district, to the south, we start basically at the city limits to the south, just south of Walmart there on Ronda Road, going across. The Wheeler Brader's not in ours, that's Cottonwoods, but our boundary kind of follows along that way. To the east, we cover all the way to the river. To the north, it would be I-5 at the river, and then it goes over Highway 273 to Rona Lane is the last part. So all of the Verdevale, Spring Gulch area, that's all within the fire district, even though it's not in the city. So a lot of people don't understand that, that our district goes beyond the city's sphere of influence there. So just trying to get everyone to understand that we're here, that, you know, we've been sleepy for a long time, but we're awake now and we're here to do business. So,
well, and the important thing to remember is, once again, we're not part of the City of Anderson structure. The Anderson Fire Protection District is not governed by the Anderson City Council. It is governed by an elected board of directors, five members who are a member or who live in that district. And are elected by the people to serve on that Anderson Fire Protection District. So it's a whole different structure than the city of Anderson. And again, explaining that because it's different. When we voted in the half-cent sales tax in the city of Anderson, it was for public protection. In people's minds, public protection is fire and police. And this is not a put down to the city of Anderson by any stretch of the imagination. They never said it was for fire, but there is an assumption, a perception, that public protection includes fire. Yeah, Anderson Fire Protection District does not receive any of those funds.
We get questioned about that all the time. How come the police department's adding people, but we're not? And we have to just simply explain to them that that half-cent sales tax does not go to the fire district. Most people don't understand that even though we're not part of the city, we still play as one. We still help each other out. I mean, we're protecting the same citizens. So we work together very closely. It's just that there's obviously that line of demarcation because we aren't governed by the city.
We're a separate entity, as there are throughout the, and this is not unusual. I think it's confusing to people up here because in the city of Reading, the fire department is a part of the city structure. It's run by the city council. The fire chief is appointed by the city manager. There's a whole structure thing there that they are a part of. In the city of Anderson, that's not true. And there's others like that. I know the city of Elk Grove is a city. They have a community service district, which is their fire department. It's not an unusual situation, but it's important to note. Just for the record, I am on the Anderson City Fire Protection District Board of Directors. I'm the vice chair of that board.
I think one big thing that's good for people to know is that in the city structure, that when the fire chief has to go and to the city manager and fight for those funds to increase staffing or cover their budget and all that, where as in the fire district, the money we get directly goes right into our general fund, basically. And that money directly goes right to paying for personnel. So it's not, we're not having to fight other entities in the city or the structure to get funding. Whatever money we take in goes directly right back into funding.
And let's talk for just a minute about I think 2 years ago, we were able finally to get a ladder truck, a very important piece of apparatus for the Anderson Fire Protection District. And it's been something that we had been saving for and putting money aside for many years, had actually some grants that needed and could only be spent on that. And once again, to clarify, the $20 parcel tax that you're now paying, if you are a resident of own a piece of property in the Anderson Fire Protection District, then you will pay for that.
Yeah, so...
But that money can only be used for the fire,
equipment. So about 3 years ago now, we have had money earmarked for several years for ladder truck. And this money's been sitting in a restricted fund. And we get money comes in from impact fees when there's new buildings being built. A portion of that gets earmarked into the ladder truck fund and equipment fund. And that's how we've purchased this vehicle. We got a grant from Wind River for $80,000 several years ago, and it just sat there. And my predecessor came in and did an assessment and determined the need that we actually needed a ladder truck for our size of our district and the infrastructure that we have to protect. And we purchased it, and it is no It did not. No, none of the money came out of our direct budget for operating costs. This money.
No
was,
impact on personnel or anything.
No impact on personnel or the actual general fund budget, if you will. It came out of this earmarked account that had been sitting for so long that I'm surprised no one asked to give it back because it sat so long. And currently, we did a 12-year lease purchase on this vehicle. The payment $64,000 a year, and that payment comes directly out of those impact fees. So that money does not come out of our budget. It's earmarked specifically for that, and it can only be used for that. So it's not just sitting there. And every year we make that payment, there's still a little bit of money in there for a contingency for 12 years down the road when this vehicle's hit its lifespan, we can purchase another one.
And so, and at the end of that 12 years, we own the vehicle outright, and there, again, it's had no impact on the operation of the fire district, only to the extent that we now have a ladder truck down in the South County. Up until that time, City of Reading was the only one with a ladder truck.
Yeah, and actually, just last week, I received a phone call. I believe it was Wednesday. The City of Reading had both of their ladder trucks. They have one that's in service every day and a reserve. And both of their ladder trucks were down because of mechanical issues unexpectedly. And they called and asked what the chances were if they needed our ladder truck, we could send it. And we actually made the decision to staff it. We actually had some reserves working that day, so we actually had four people on the engine. And we actually moved them over to the ladder truck until about 8 o'clock that night. In case there was a fire in Reading, we would send them automatically up here. And that's how we work with our mutual aid partners. Anytime we request help, they come help us. And anytime they need something, we're going to come up there. But we always make sure we have people to cover the district to cover calls down there. I don't want people to think that we leave the department unstaffed.
Well, we do have kind of an interesting situation up here regarding fire because you have so many agencies active beyond just Shasta County Fire, CDF, the municipal agencies, the federal agencies, because of our unique topography up here. Now, your wildland-urban interface issues can crop up, more so here in Reading, but that's special training that your guys have, right?
Yeah, all of our guys go through the same training as do the Cal Fire employees and the federal firefighters with the S-130, S-190, which is the wildland firefighting. We all get red carded every year. We're able to go out on strike teams and do wildland fires. And as he'd mentioned just a minute ago, when fire season's here, we're all partners. I was just in a meeting a couple weeks ago with all of our partners, including the federal BLM, Forest Service, Park Service, Fish and Wildlife, Cal Fire. And we were all meeting together to make sure that our California Master Mutual Aid Plan is still in effect here. We are a unique area because we have so many different entities, but we all come together as one when the time's needed.
And thanks to and suddenly the name of it escaped right out of my head, the ICS system. You can all speak the same language now.
Which was a while coming.
Yeah. Back in the 1970s, there was a catastrophic wildfire, and nobody could talk to anybody. Nobody knew who was in charge, and that was when the ICS, which is now pretty much around the world, was formulated.
Yeah, it started right here in California because of our destructive wildfires, and it's something that we preach. We practice it on every call, and We've come a long way with it, and we even have common communications throughout the entire state of California now. We can go all the way to L.A. and still be able to communicate with everybody down there. So we've come a long way in the fire service.
You know, back in the 80s, actually, was when that early 80s was when that was really refined and everything started by the U.S. Forest Service, actually. It was the one that came up with that program. And I actually worked extended dispatch at the airport during that period during catastrophic fires. And I would work a 12-hour shift out there. So I'm very, very familiar with that whole system of getting all those organizations together to do the work to fight our fires. And this whole area has to be able to work together and cover our home bases and take care of all the wildland interface stuff that's going on. And just as a reminder, is a year that people should be paying attention because we've got a lot of tall grass. We've had a lot of nice moisture and the grass is out there. And as soon as we get a few hot days, it's going to get tall and very, very volatile. So
we're already to that point where we're starting to see fires. So
it's starting to cure out.
We're getting to that point now where we're vigilant. We're our weed abatement program that we've had in place for years is in effect. The fire marshal's been out doing assessments. We sent 25 letters out yesterday to people to remind them to start mowing their grass or we're going to come after them. And which brings me to the next thing is that's going to be.
We're going to take a break and then we'll go to the next thing.
All righty. Well, this portion of the program brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Lighty and his team of NRA instructors provide the most complete CCW training in Northern California. For a limited time, NFI will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents who take a basic CCW course. You can register online, of course, at usgunpro.com or call Ted at 999-1822. Free Fire Radio will continue after the break.
The thrill of yelling
bingo
and play at Wind River Resort and Casino. Don't miss our paper only night every Monday. $200 drawing every session. Rock and roll bingo and our $20,000 anniversary marathon. $250 cash drawing after every regular game. At the end of the month, one lucky winner will win a brand new laptop and free slot play. Plus, nine winners receive an Alexa Fire tablet and our Drop It Like It's Hot drawing. Earn drawing tickets all month long. Receive three tickets on Triple Ticket Tuesdays. Don't miss our $500 midweek drawing. Every month, ask about Bingo's Give Back promotion and special drawings every session. So grab your friends and play bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino. If you don't like to dodge, let the machine do the work for you. Pre-sales available. Machines only, hands-free. Who says you can't win them all? Play bingo. Win your share of cash. Free slot play and electronics. You only have to be 18 to play. Check out our bingo calendar and download the Wind River app. Bingo calendar subject to change. It's playtime all the time at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of the Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it, Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Be careful posting on social media when leaving town for any period of time. With 66% of all burglaries being committed by someone who knows the victim, sharing where you'll be and how long you'll be gone is a sure sign that your home or business is vulnerable. That's all someone from your social media sphere needs to start scheming their way to your essentials. Wait to post those pictures from Hawaii till after you're home, and you'll save yourself some peace of mind knowing your valuables aren't being taken while you're away.
This security moment brought to you by North State Security, an ounce of prevention since 1968.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Conservative? Flaunt it. Call Carl and Linda right now.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Please give us a call at 605-4567 if you have any questions. You're down in the Anderson Fire Protection District. Have any questions you'd like to ask us about this upcoming ballot measure in November? This is only Tuesday. It's not Thursday. If you're just tuning in and you're going, oh, my gosh, that's not Carl and Linda. That's Tricia. No, you're right. It's not Thursday yet. But I am here to stay today, and we are going to be discussing all things about the Anderson Fire Protection District for a while. And I have joined in the studio with me is Chief Steve Lowe.
Good morning. And when we left off, we were talking about sending out letters for weed abatement and all that. And the one thing I wanted to touch on real quick is that we're currently revamping our ordinance for that. We've partnered with the city. City code enforcement has been going after blight properties and all these issues that have plagued the city for a long time, people not cleaning up parcels that are overgrown and are a very big fire hazard in the city and the fire district. So we've actually revamped our ordinance, and we're hoping to push that out here this next month in June at our June meeting to do the first reading and just kind of – I wouldn't say it's just going to square off a lot of unknowns or loopholes in our old ordinance that we can actually go after somebody and make them mow their lawn in a more timely manner and just make it look better, and it, you know, reduces the fire threat within the district.
Well, not only that, we've had a lot of conversation over the last several years about those blighted areas that the with the high weeds. I know the city has been making a concerted effort, because not only does that have a fire hazard, it also allows for occupation by the homeless population that wants to have a place to snuggle down and hide. The city's been very aggressive about clearing up some of those properties. The private property owners have been working hand in hand with them to give them the authority to go in and clear out those areas. And now this new ordinance that the Anderson Fire Protection District is revamping is going to play right into that, to clean up our city, not only to keep us fire safe, but also to just make it a nicer place to live and get rid of those areas for people to hide out that don't belong there.
Absolutely. We want to make it a great place to live. It already is, but we want to make it even better, and we want to make it look good, but we also want to reduce the fire threat along the way.
One of the things we kind of touched on a little earlier was about the fact that we're currently paying in the city of Anderson, or in the Anderson Fire Protection District, $20 per parcel. So, again, to emphasize, that's if you own a small home, you pay $20. Walmart pays $20. The apartment complexes that have 60 or 70 or 80 units pay $20. Talk a little bit about what the difference is going to be here, and how many calls you make to those structures that are paying $20 and are so much bigger.
Yeah, currently we have several apartment complexes within the district that we respond to daily. We have a few that we actually go to multiple times a day just because of the amount of the call volume there. And, you know, they pay $20 for our service. And we respond to Walmart, unfortunately, several times a week for calls for service there as well. And, again, you know, we've had fires in the bathrooms there. We've had people putting explosive devices in the back part of Walmart several years ago. And again, it's $20 for our full response. And we were there for multiple hours. We've had arson fires in the bathroom. And again, the apartment complex is same thing. We respond to there multiple times. We just had an apartment fire 2 years ago at one of the apartments near the station. And that whole apartment complex pays $20 a year for fire protection.
Yeah, and it's $20 a year, not $20 per call. That's $20 a year. I'm trying to paint a picture in the minds of the citizens down there, not just the property owners, but the people who are registered voters in the Anderson Fire Protection District, that it sounds like that's a big increase from $20 to $150, and that's on a single-family home. That actually works out to about 41 cents a day for fire protection for your home and your family if you do own that one parcel. For those citizens who don't actually own a piece of property and live in the city, that actually doesn't cost you any money. If you're renting, you may pay a portion of that increase, but certainly not, you're not going to pay the whole $150. But the most important thing is that translates to 41 cents a day for fire protection.
41 cents a day. It works out to about $2.60 a week. So it's the cost of a cup of coffee a week to increase our staffing to where we would actually, you know, come up to the national standard.
Well, and more importantly, we need to be realistic. The Anderson Fire Protection District, because of a lot of things, and we're not going to go about beating up the past, but for a long time, we had been paying, up until about 4 or 5 years ago, we weren't paying very good attention to what our budget was. There was, for various reasons, we were going into the red on a pretty regular basis. We kind of have stopped the flow a little, got our ship in order, if you will. All our equipment is top-notch and well-maintained and absolutely being maintained on a regular basis now. We've gone through and done a lot of logistical things within the department to streamline processes and make our personnel more professional and more accountable. And we've got a really good fire department going there. Chief Lowe has been there long enough to watch all of it develop. The one that he replaced, we brought him in for just a short time. He had some really good ideas about how to change some things and bring in some new revenues into the district and let's just say it, make our department a little more professional. Fortunately, Steve was there with him, kind of, I said, was a bit of a sponge and gathered all that information and is now systematically going through that and putting all of those new programs into effect.
Yeah, we have a great group of personnel that work for us right now. They want nothing more than to succeed and be the best we can be at our jobs, because unfortunately, at the end of the day, when people call 911, they don't have a choice of who shows up. So we have to be really good at our jobs. And we have a great group of core people right now that want this place to succeed. They're willing to go out and knock on doors. They're answering questions every call about this survey, about everything else we got going on, you know. So it's a great group of people to have, and I'm having a good time working with them because they just want to succeed, and that's why I'm here too. I've talked about leaving before, but I want this department to succeed. I've been here my entire career, so we're going to do everything we can to keep moving forward, and we're not going to let things get in our way.
Well, and we are, as I indicated, we're looking at all of those different things. We recently went through and developed another call for service fee, which was a bit of a conversation for a while. I think people are understanding that it is not impacting. If you have Medi-Cal or you have Medicare or you have private insurance and we make a call for a medical call, your insurance company, Medi-Cal or Medicare, is billed. If you do not have those, you do not receive a bill for that fee for service.
Yeah, it's called a first responder fee, and it's very common with other fire districts. Typically in the southern part of California, that's where we got the idea from. Consumers Fire Department actually was the one we spoke with to get the idea. Brought it forward to the board, and it passed. It's $150 every time we respond out on a medical call. Again, it does not charge the patient directly. If you don't have insurance, you don't even – it just gets thrown in the trash.
Yeah.
So currently we get a little bit of money from it. It's not the fix-all, but we're trying to do everything we can without, you know – going overboard.
Well, and we have. I don't want people to think that we just have said, oh, well, we'll just up this parcel fee and be done with it. We've looked at every other thing we can do. We've gone strategically and are going through all of our calls for building permits and inspections and all of the things that new businesses and new companies come into the fire district. They have an impact on fire service as well, and we're looking at all those things and making sure that everyone is being charged appropriately and paying their fair share.
Absolutely. One of the things that we've redone in the fire marshal's office is we've gone back and looked at our fees for service for inspections and all that, and, you know, some people gripe and groan about it, but we're not doing anything different than any other fire department in California does. We're just finally bringing the fire district up to what is normal in a fire department, you know. So inspection fees and plan check fees and all that. So we're finally getting all that stuff squared away, and it's actually working well. Our fire marshal is doing a very good job with keeping track of all that and doing all the inspections. We're busy. We're a busy department, you know. People don't understand that our funding has not changed basically since 1970.
And hear that again. Basically, since 1970, we have not even Cottonwood, the very small district that Cottonwood is. I think that their parcel fee is 70.
It's increased. I don't remember exactly what it is. They changed theirs a few years back. But you know, it's the same thing. We basically were working off of funding since 1970, whereas we've increased. We went from one person on an engine in 2010 to two people on an engine, but we had no funding mechanism to cover that. So we were kind of borrowing from ourselves, if you will, from our restricted fund. That once that's out, it's gone. We don't have any contingency money left once that money's gone. So that's where we're at. We're getting to the point where it's make or break time. And you know, I appreciate my my past predecessors bring in extra people on, but there was never a funding mechanism to cover the cost of that. So here I am now charged with this task of getting this done, and we got to do what we got to do to survive.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about that staffing and the ways that we have been able to fill that gap and how we intend to do that going forward.
And this portion of the program brought to you by our friends at SST Oil. Oddly enough, even though it's getting warmer, it is already time to prepare for next winter. Now through June the 8th, SST Oil offering 20% off maintenance, 10% off all parts. Veterans get an additional 5% off SST Services, Toyotomi, and Monitor brand heaters, as well as water heaters year-round. But right now is the perfect time to get some spring savings. Ask for early bird discounts on kerosene beginning May through July. Call SST Oil today to schedule your maintenance and delivery. And my music is not behaving itself there. SST Oil today, 241-1167. Give SST Oil 241-1167. They're at 2370 Wyndham Lane in Redding.
My name is Sam. I am 19 and was born and raised in Redding. It looks like criminals are taking over our city. There's so many parks in Redding that I played in when I was a kid. It seems now that they're covered with trash and filled with sketchy-looking people. It's sad, but I won't go near those parks. Why can't we do something about this? I hear stories of people walking into stores, taking whatever they want, and walking out without paying, and nothing happens to them. Cars get stolen by the same bad guys, and still, nothing happens to them. Then I learned that the state gave Shasta County $20 million to build an adult rehabilitation center. This was supposed to help convicted criminals learn new skills so they might find a better life. Seems like a step in the right direction, but the county gave the money back. Why?
My name is Joe Comenti, and I'm asking you to elect me to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. Law enforcement is aggressively trying to protect us, but it's time for new leadership at the Board of Supervisors. It's time for action.
Paid for by the committee to elect Joe Comenti.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank. Consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Redding. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
May is First Responder Month, and KCNR 1460 joins with our community in a salute to law enforcement, fire, and medical personnel.
Everyday Fitness would like to thank the first responders of Shasta and Tehama County for putting their lives on the line every day for our great community. Because of your service, you allow all of us to live a better quality of life. Thank you again from Everyday Fitness.
To those who run toward danger when the alarm sounds, a heartfelt thank you from your community and Free Fire Media.
Are you looking to move on up to the east side? The east side of Redding has many, many things to offer, including the Palomar Experience. It's Highland Park in the beautiful east side of Redding. These high-quality luxury homes brought to you by Palomar Builders feature many luxury amenities, including green technology like radiant barrier roof sheathing, high-efficiency, quick-recovery gas water heaters, energy-efficient LED and fluorescent lighting, water-conserving toilets, faucets, and showerheads, and programmable irrigation systems. Exceptional exterior and interior features, including designer kitchens with granite slab countertops, stylish islands in some plans, and walk-in pantries with door. And the east side is close to shopping and to freeway access. To find Highland Park, just go north on Churn Creek, look for the signs to make a left on Bodenhammer, and you'll find the Palomar Experience. Highland Park, come see the model home. Contact Debbie Morgan from Coldwell Banker CNC Properties at 604-2127. For Palomar Builders, Highland Park.
Got something stuck in your craw? Give us a call, 605-4567.
portion of Free Fire Radio brought to you by Man's Last Stronghold. That would be Cypress Square Barbershop, 2463 Athens Avenue in Reading, 244-9478. They've been a proud sponsor of Free Fire Radio ever since we took to the airwaves. Cypress Square Barbershop, where Carl gets his hair cut. Gentlemen, you should get your hair cut there as well. Now, back to our program.
And welcome back to Free Fire Radio, community radio for the North State. KCNR1460.com. If you'd like to jump into the chat room, give us a call at 605-4567. It's Tuesday. It's 63 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 87, and the weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Joining our conversation here, we've got, I know nobody likes to talk about taxes, and nobody likes to talk about having to pay more for anything, but the reality is the Anderson Fire Protection District has been operating with about the same funds since the 70s. A lot of things have changed in that period of time. A lot of requirements and training that has to go on. Let's talk just a little bit. Every once in a while, I hear people talk about, well, how come we don't have the volunteer program anymore? How come we don't have volunteers? Kind of tell us the reasons we don't have volunteers.
So about 4 years ago now, we revamped our program. We dissolved the Volunteer Association. For a volunteer firefighter nowadays, they have to have the same training as a full-time paid firefighter. And there's just not enough time for those guys to commit that amount of time. We don't have the same amount of people living in the district that we did from the mills closing down. And it's a lifestyle. You have to live it. You are a volunteer firefighter 24 hours a day. The requirements are the same, like I said, as a paid full-time firefighter, and people just don't have the time to commit it. We're not the only ones that were going through times where we just didn't have very many volunteers. All of the county volunteer fire departments are struggling. Cottonwood Fire Department is struggling with their volunteer program. So we revamped our program. We no longer have a volunteer association. We have a reserve program where you have to be fully qualified, meaning you've been through a fire academy. We have four people on there currently that have previously been either a volunteer with us or worked other departments and are either working on an ambulance or working for another fire department, but they still come in and they work a 24-hour shift and they get a $100 stipend to be there for 24 hours. So we're actually getting more people on the engine, not breaking our bank, but we're also getting fully qualified people to be a part of our program. And we don't just have somebody, you know, to walk in off the street anymore like you used to and say, I want to be a volunteer firefighter. If you do it and you commit to it, you're looking at almost a full year of not being able to even go on a call before you get all this training. And that's, you know, a couple nights a week and almost every Saturday.
And as you indicate, this is up and down the state. These are new requirements that have been put in that you can no longer just have people who show up and fight a fire. They have to go through that extensive training. We're certainly finding it out in all of the smaller districts, the volunteer fire companies throughout the county. With county fire, they're feeling this really badly, and it amounts to, and there are requirements. They have to be paid something. They have to go through the certification. They have to be qualified to be there and simply don't have it anymore.
Yeah, everybody that works for a fire department, you have to have a minimum of, you have to have emergency medical training, you have to have CPR training, you have to be confined space awareness trained, hazmat trained, you have to have all the live fire classes to be a firefighter, plus all of the wildland certifications, and then you're talking, you have to have auto extrication in case you have to cut somebody out of a car, you have to know how to pluck somebody out of a river, which we do shore-based rescue, all that, so it's a lot of training.
And that's so, because a lot of people still in their mind say, well, I was a volunteer with such and such department forever and blah, blah, blah. Well, that you can't do that in this day and age anymore. So the reserve program is working really well for us. We've actually been able to hire some of the people that started out with us through the reserve program. We take really good advantage of that during the winter months when we have the people who work for Cal Fire or other agencies doing wildland fire. Then they're free up in the winter time, and we have so during the summer we don't have as much availability for that, but we still are working towards that program. When we come back, Steve, we've got just a couple of minutes here. We'll finish up. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about how we're staffing our departments, you know, how our department now, and then what we want to do when we do it later on. Well, we're not going to a break yet. No.
We're about 5 minutes from the top of the hour.
I know. I'm just saying, what I wanted to talk about more importantly, though,
making sure we're looking at the right
clock. The importance of the staff for just a few minutes that we've got there now.
So currently, every day, we have two people that are on duty on the fire engine to respond to a call. We have a a fire captain and a firefighter or engineer, as we're calling them now. They're the ones that drive and operate the equipment and pump at the scene of a fire. So currently we have two people on duty every day, 24 hours a day. We have a 40-hour firefighter that works Monday through Friday from 7 to 3. He's just there extra help because obviously we can't afford to put him full-time, because if we did that, he would go to a shift, and then we'd need two more to cover the other two shifts. So that's how we're currently staffed. We're looking at hiring some two seasonal firefighters and put them all on shifts here in the next month, in the next 2 weeks, actually. We're hoping by June 15th that we have three people on duty, but it's not 24 hours a day. They're just there during high fire time. That way, if we get a wildland fire, we have three people to respond, because that's going to be our big major impact here. So our goal with this whole thing is to make it to where we have three, if not four, people on duty every day on the fire engine. Also supplementing with our reserve program, my ultimate goal of the fire chief here is to have five people on duty every day, and that would be two on one engine and three on another engine to respond to calls. We need five people every day. That would be our ultimate goal.
Steve, what happened? Because I know that we very often have a call, and then immediately following, we have another call. How do you handle that?
So currently right now, we're running almost 3,000 calls a year, and the national standard tells us, NFPA says that if you're hitting that mark, you need two emergency vehicles to be responding to these calls. We're at that point now where we can justify and have the need to have two staff vehicles every day to go to all these medical aids and all of the fires that we respond to. We're seeing about a 10% increase over the last couple of years per year. Currently, we have auto aid agreements with Cal Fire, Shasta County Fire, and Cottonwood Fire Department. It's not uncommon every day that we get multiple calls at the same time. It happened yesterday. Currently, we get a call for service. Our on-duty crew immediately responds to that call, and if our second call comes down in our district, we have Cal Fire or Cottonwood is automatically sent until our guys are available to come in for the next call, and vice versa. We help each other out a lot in the South County, and it's a really good system. But for our district, we need more people on duty.
Okay, so we've got two vehicles out on an emergency now, and I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, okay, so now, and medical calls, how many medical calls do you have?
We run 80 to 85% of our call volume is medical calls. So I believe last year we ran 2,815 calls total. We're running about 230 calls a month currently. That's quite a bit of calls.
Okay, and how many of those are medical?
I would say probably 200 of those are medical. And the 30 other ones are either fires, hazmats, other miscellaneous calls that we get calls for service. We do a lot of public assist, people needing help up, or, you know, somebody calls because a water line's broken, or their smoke detector's going off and they don't know why. So we do go to all of those calls as well. So it's not just the medical and the fire, but it's all encompassing.
I'm always slightly amused by people who rail against police or fire departments, saying, well, why do you have to send the big truck out on a medical when you can just send a little truck? The trouble is, if you're in the little truck and a fire hits next door, you got to go back to the station, pick up the big truck, and come back. Ultimately, it's a losing proposition.
That's a really good point. We get questioned that all the time. Why are you guys driving that big ladder truck? Well, we have to stay proficient at it. So our guys have to train on it weekly and monthly. And once a month, those guys are on it for their whole shift, so they can be proficient at not only driving it, pumping it, knowing all the equipment on it, and operating the aerial and the master stream on there. So that's a good point. People bring that up all the time. Why do you guys take the big truck to all the calls? Well, it's our toolbox. If we don't have our toolbox, we're ineffective. We have to have everything with us at all times.
Same with going to the store. Why do you guys take that to the store? Because without the truck, the firefighters are a bunch of guys in nice outfits.
Absolutely. And I used to get questioned all the time when I was on the engine. We go to the store. Well, oh, I'm paying for your meals. Well, actually, we have to pay for our own food. We're on duty. Those guys are on duty for 48 hours at a time due to their shift schedule. And they live at the fire station. They sleep at the fire station. They eat. They have holidays at the fire station. I've had many of Thanksgiving and Christmases at the fire station, as do my guys now. So they live there. They eat there. You know, if they're out and about, it's because they're still trying to, you know, eat and do normal things that humans have to do every day. But, yeah.
When we come back, we'll expand a little bit more on that, on the tour and what kind of a shift they actually work. I think that a lot of times people take for granted that, well, firemen and policemen and all those people are just there. We have a constant conversation about the shifts and how come you guys make the money you do. And I think there's a big, good explanation for their lifestyle and what a
clearly that's somebody who's never worn a turnout. Yeah, clearly that's somebody who's never worn a turnout in July.
There you go. So we are going to take a break, and we'll be back with Chief Steve Lowe from the Anderson Fire Protection District in the next hour.
And Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR Shasta Reading News, brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. See their newly remodeled store, 2143 Hilltop Drive in Reading.
News this hour, townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The Justice Department launching an investigation of allegations that the FBI infiltrated the 2016 Trump presidential campaign, planting an informant in the campaign. House Speaker Paul Ryan asked whether it's appropriate that some lawmakers want the informant's identity to be revealed.
I do think it's appropriate in the context of the legitimate Intelligence Committee investigation that this information be provided to Congress. If it isn't, then we have a huge gap in our investigation.
Ryan also asked about calls by some lawmakers that he step aside as Speaker of the House.
The members drafted me into this job because of who I am and what I stand for. I think members very much agree that what we should be doing is completing our agenda and our work. Look at what we're doing just this week.
And Ryan says a disruptive leadership election at this time would not help to advance the GOP agenda in the House. President Trump getting ready for a meeting today at the White House with South Korea's president as questions persist about a possible summit with North Korea.
South Korean President Moon Jae-in is here in Washington for talks ahead of President Trump's scheduled summit with North Korea's leader in Singapore. Last week, the North broke off a high-level meeting with the South and threatened to cancel next month's summit with the U.S. Moon has acted as an intermediary between Washington and Pyongyang, and the two presidents likely will discuss potential steps that Mr. Trump can put on the table in Singapore. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Authorities say that four suspects, teenagers, now in custody in connection with the killing of a Maryland police officer yesterday in suburban Baltimore. One of the suspects is a 16-year-old boy. We have no information yet on the other suspects. Stocks have been mixed on Wall Street this morning. Right now, the Dow down 42 points, while the NASDAQ is trading 8 points higher, and the S&P is up almost 3 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you or anyone you love has been diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, your diagnosis may be the result of job-related exposure to asbestos, and you may be entitled to compensation. Over $30 billion in trusts have been set aside for individuals who have been affected by asbestos exposure. How do you protect your rights and get the compensation you deserve? Call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. Capital Legal Group is one of the nation's resources for settlement of lung cancer and mesothelioma cases. Law firms have successfully recovered over $2.7 billion for their clients in all 50 states, and claims have been paid in as little as 60 days. If you or a family member were diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. We'll open a no-cost case review on your behalf. A history of tobacco use or cigarette smoking will not disqualify your case. Visit 800-400-LUNG.com or call 800-400-LUNG. Call 800-400-5864 now. That's 800-400-LUNG.
A group of Western and Chinese journalists has flown into North Korea to witness the decommissioning of the North's main nuclear test site. However, South Korean reporters have been excluded from that visit.
South Korean journalists went to Beijing in the hope, after being invited, that they would get to go on the onward journey to Punggye-ri and were turned back. That's indicative of where we are. North Korea says it's refusing to talk to the South because of current U.S.-South Korean aerial combat drills being held over the peninsula. They say this is not in the spirit of the agreement signed by President Moon and Kim Jong-un.
That's the BBC's Laura Bicker. European Union Trade Commissioner Cecilia Malmström says the EU still has no idea as to whether President Trump will slap tariffs on the bloc's steel and aluminum exports next week. News and analysis at townhall.com. The Trump administration may eliminate rules against hunters in Alaska, baiting bears with bacon and donuts, using motorboats to target swimming caribou.
Hunting activities condemned as cruel by wildlife advocates were banned by the Obama administration. But now the National Park Service has issued official notice that it plans to amend regulations for sport hunting and trapping in national preserves to bring the federal rules in line with Alaska state law. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game says it's pleased with the announcement, but the Humane Society of the United States vows to fight the new rules, saying federal preserves are havens for wildlife and calls this a misguided attempt to increase trophy hunting opportunities. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Well, the midterm elections taking shape. Primaries today in Arkansas, Georgia, and Kentucky. Several primary runoffs in Texas. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
And welcome back. This is Free Fire Radio, community radio for the North State, KCNR 1460 AM radio. It is not Carl and Linda. If you just tuned in, it's not Thursday either. This is Trish Clark. It's only Tuesday. But Carl and Linda are back celebrating Linda's birthday in New York City. So they will be back tomorrow. I've been hosting the show the last few days, kind of having conversation. Yesterday we had a great time with Jim Albertson, and today we're talking fire in South County. Anderson Fire Protection District, hopefully you're not getting terribly bored, but it's important that we get the message to the voters down there about the importance of what we're trying to do. It's not at this June election, but in November, but there's a survey out there now that we're asking people to respond to and trying to get some information out this morning. 65 degrees. In downtown Reading, we're looking for a high today of 87, a low of 60, and on Wednesday a high of 81, a low of 58. Thursday 80 and 57, and on Friday 75 and 55. A slight chance of showers Thursday and Friday. Kind of some thunderstorms lurking around out there and some clouds around, but all in all, very, very nice weather. Looking for sunny today and a high near 87. And the weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally and veteran-owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Really nice people down in the city of Anderson. Give them a call at 365-3793. So, Chief Lowe, we've talked a little bit when we first started the last hour about the survey that went out. We've hired a company to help us make sure that the citizens down in Anderson understand in the Anderson Fire Protection District what they're now paying for fire service, which is $20 per parcel per year. If you own an apartment complex with 100 units, you pay $20. If you own a small house, you pay $20. You own a big business like Walmart, you pay $20. And that brings us about $80,000 a year.
Yeah, we have about 4,100 parcels that we collect that $20 on every year. So it's about $82,000, $83,000 a year.
And that is targeted money. It can only be used for equipment and certain things. It cannot be used, even if it was enough to do any good, it isn't. And that hasn't changed since the 70s. I think that if you just kind of stop and think, if you live in the Anderson Fire Protection District, basically the city of Anderson and some of the Happy Valley area.
Spring Gulch and Verde Vale area.
And Verde Vale area. You are served by that district and are receiving your fire protection from them. At some point, we either have to figure out a way to increase the budget for that department or we go away. We're into our reserves and we've been doing that for several years. We've kind of turned that around, corrected some areas, heading in some other directions, and this is one of those efforts. The survey went out to explain why we need the increased funding and realistically what that's going to actually cost. It's $150 per parcel, For residential. If it's a, and then we go on to
multifamily homes, $150 per unit. Unimproved lots or parcels is $140 a year, and commercial is 24 cents a square foot. And people need to understand that this is per year. It's not per month, and it's not per week. It's per year. Currently, it's $20 per year for everybody. We're just trying to make it fair for everybody and increase it to where it's actually up to 2018, so it actually is a benefit to the agency.
So the apartment complexes that are getting 20 and 30 calls a week are now going to be paying for each unit as opposed to just the one fee. That's fair.
Absolutely,
it's fair. It's not fair that because that's where our calls go. The big businesses, they'll be paying per square foot, and even that doesn't come out. I mean, it's not any of it that is exorbitant.
Now, even for a large commercial building of 10,000 square feet at the 24 cents per square foot, they're looking at $2,400 a year.
Well, yeah, which is certainly not exorbitant for fire protection. And this includes all the medical aids and all the other things that the fire department does. You know, a lot of people think we just go out and they think about a fire department and they think, okay, they put out fire and go on medical calls. What else does the fire department do?
We do calls for service every day of just coming to help pick somebody up that fell down that doesn't need to go to the hospital that's uninjured. They just can't get up. We go pick them up. We check smoke detectors. We go to wildland fires, structure fires, vehicle fires, traffic collisions. If somebody needs to be cut out of a car, we get called all the time because somebody gets their keys locked in the car with their kid inside. We go and do what we can to help get them out. We respond to hazmats. We're responsible for doing business inspections. We're responsible for inspecting all the schools and apartment buildings. And so we're a busy agency, and we're doing it with very little funding right now and bare bones staffing.
Our fire marshal, we've been able to get a lot of very qualified people to work with us in conjunction with their other duties and other jobs that they have to try to get us up to the 21st century here and operating in a manner that the citizens of the Anderson Fire Protection District can be proud of. And we're there. I mean, we've got a very professional, well-qualified staff there. Right now, we're doing some kind of interesting things to keep them staffed, and we're not going to be able to do that forever.
Yeah, currently we have temporary employees that are working. They get their base salary, but they don't get benefits because we can't afford it. If we had to give them benefits and keep them employed, our reserves would be depleted rapidly, and we wouldn't be able to have two people on an engine. So as the fire chief, that's unacceptable in my opinion. If we have to drop to one person on an engine to respond to calls, we might as well shut down.
Well, and so the existing staff and the people that are working with us there have been working proactively with this board of directors over the last couple of years to try to put these things. We've done our homework. We're going through the process. We've sent these surveys out. If you're in the Anderson Fire Protection District, I'm really asking you to take the time to fill out the survey. Talk to your friends and talk to the people that you associate with and try to get the message out about how important this is. City of Anderson is growing. It's a good community. There's all kinds of new businesses coming in. Having a proactive professional fire department is part of your lifestyle. It's part of the important part of what you have in your community. And it's important that the citizens get behind us on this and make sure that the Anderson Fire Protection District is able to keep up with the level of service that's expected and needed in a good city like the city of Anderson.
Yeah, people have to understand, too, that the minimum wage increase is even affecting us because we have such low wages that our bottom end is actually being impacted by that. We've had to be proactive and keep our salaries above that to attract good people. And we have good people right now, and we're trying to fix that. You know, we're walking a fine line of trying to increase wages to keep the good people that we have, but also be fiscally sound with our budget and not break the bank. So that minimum wage increase is unfortunately affecting the local agencies as well.
It is. And we have, not only do we have the secretarial staff that we have to have, we've been able to get really good qualified people that again are working with us and working some part-time stuff and making it so we can move forward and operate a professional department. But we've sat and worked through the numbers. We've come up with the solutions that we think are there for us. And we've explained them in this survey and we'll just kind of go through some of the
With the survey, we when I was working with the company, SCA Group, they did a poll, and we have about 12,000 to 14,000 residents that live within the fire district. 10 of those are within the city. And they did a poll and found out that there's only 5,000 registered voters within our district. So out of the 5,000 registered voters, there was two surveys sent out, and they split it 50-50 right down the middle. Half of them got just a one line asking if they would support a special new annual tax for the fire district at $150 a year for a single home, and it's a definitely yes, a probably no, and a definitely no. And then the rest of them got, the other half got a 12-question survey with that question embedded in there as well, but just asking about, you know, would this ballot measure would help preserve and improve our current response times for fire protection, and it's asking the people if they would, you know, support that or not. And
yeah, and we'll go into more of those questions on the survey in just a moment. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back on the other side.
And at 8:15, KCNR 1460's Free Fire Radio. This portion brought to you by Bastiani Arms at 2539 Larkspur Lane. Our firearms dealer choice when it comes to selecting a new long gun or pistol, having gunsmith work done, or buying ammo. John Bastiani prides himself on customer service, always having with customer needs in stock and at fair prices. Bastiani Arms, 222-8222.
Do you have big dreams of going tiny? Come celebrate 25 years at the river with us. We are giving away a custom-built tiny house RV to one lucky winner. Play our Tiny Living Big Winning Swipe to Win promotion for your chance to win a brand-new custom-built tiny house RV. It's simple. Spin the reels on any slot machine or swipe your free River Club card daily. Every 200 points gets you an entry. Earn four times the entries on Mondays and Tuesdays. Win free slot play or prizes. Join us Thursdays at 8 p.m. Win 250 free slot play. Plus, we have new games just waiting to hit the jackpot. Unlimited entries all month long to increase your chances. Swipe for your chance to win a variety of prizes. Wind River Resort and Casino is giving away the house, literally. The more you play, the more chances you have to win. Final drawing Thursday, May 31st. Grand prize, a tiny house RV from Liberty Cabins. 30 winners, 250 free slot play. Live large in a tiny house RV. Play Tiny Living, Big Winning, Swipe to Win at Wind River. Download the Wind River app. It's playtime all the time at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, I'm Shasta County Sheriff Tom Basanko. I've had the privilege of serving as your sheriff since 2006. With 39 years of law enforcement experience, I'm dedicated to public safety. No doubt, these are difficult times. We currently lack the number of deputies and jail space to serve our community. However, I've been relentless in the recruitment and retention of personnel to accommodate county needs. The Board of Supervisors recently accepted my plan to move forward with an increase of 60 jail beds, raising the capacity of the jail, and as chair of the Drug Task Force, we are working to address drugs in our communities. There are many issues facing our community, including homelessness, and there is no short-term solution. However, I am dedicated to the long haul. This is a time for experience and knowledge to do the job for you. With your support, our community can meet the challenges we are facing. I ask for your support and your vote on June 5th.
Paid for by the Committee to Re-elect Tom Basanko, Sheriff 2018.
Spring is springing, the trees are leafing, the birds are chirping, and temperatures are on the rise. So, your heater's probably the last thing on your mind, right? Fact is, right now is the perfect time to prepare for next winter. Through June 8th, SSD Oil is offering 20% off maintenance and 10% off parts with an additional 5% discount for our veterans. SST Oil Services Monitor and Toyotomi brands of heaters and water heaters. When you call SST at 241-1167, ask about early bird discounts on kerosene May through July. SST Oil on Windham Lane in Redding, 530-241-1167.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
819 Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, your locally owned talk radio station. This portion of the show brought to you by Reading Home Helpers. If your loved one needs extra help at home, they're recovering from an injury or surgery, well, the amazing folks at Home Helpers can keep your loved one safe and independent in their own home. Caregivers are licensed by the state. They pass background checks, DMV screening, all the usual stuff. Schedules can be 2 hours or 24 hours a day, depending on your need. Sharon Clark will come see you for a complimentary in-home consultation. You can find out more at ReadingHomeHelpers.com or give them a call at 226-8350. There is no place like home.
And welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, AM radio, community radio for the North State. And this is Trish Clark this morning. I've been hosting the last 2 days while Linda and Carl have been in New York celebrating Linda's birthday. So I'm here this morning with Chief Steve Lowe, and we've been talking about Stephan Anderson. And speaking of Stephan Anderson, as you are aware, the Anderson Explodes takes place on July 3rd down in the city of Anderson, down at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. They raise money all year to put on that great show and bring in great entertainment. It's always a fantastic show, and a lot of people show up for it. This Friday, May 25th, they're having the Anderson Explodes $10,000 giveaway. They'll be giving away $10,000 as well as four $500 prizes, eight $250 prizes. The tickets are $100 a piece. I think there's still a few tickets left. They almost always sell out. But anyway, the dinner and drawing will be held this Friday, May 25th. The doors open at 5 o'clock. The drawing will be held at 7. And there's a dinner at 6 p.m. And that's at the Shasta District Fairgrounds, the Sorrow Hall. You need to get down there and take a part of this. It's always a great time. Good dinner. I think they have ribs. It's a great function. Be sure and join them and take a chance on winning that $10,000. Somebody's got to win it. I keep saying that, and I buy a ticket every year, and I'm just sure that this is the year. One of these times I'm going to actually win that. Had some friends that actually did that. Also want to remind you that, in fact, the Shasta District Fair is coming up, and that's on June 20th through the 23rd. The great entertainment again, and that's down at the fairgrounds down in the city of Anderson. Just a reminder that that's the district fair. Our county fair is actually up in MacArthur and is later on in the year, but, please be sure and mark that on your calendar and get ready to go forward with that. So Steve, before we went on the break, we were kind of talking about some of the questions on the survey, and I think some of the questions are interesting in that they point out exactly what we're trying to do with the fire department. So if you could elaborate just a little bit, please.
Yeah, one of the questions on the ballot says this ballot measure would prevent our local fire district from having to make personnel cuts to fire protection emergency services, and that's 100% correct. As we've stated before, our budget is to the point now we've been dipping in our reserves for many years, and as we all know, you can only do that for so long before something has to change, and we're at that point now. We need to make a change now. If we have to continue doing that, we're going to have to lay people off, and our current policy is if we have one guy on an engine, that engine is out of service. They're not effective, and it's not safe to go to calls by yourself.
Well, and not only that, there are requirements. Even if you get an engine, and let's just say we send an engine out with one firefighter on it, nothing can happen. He can be an engine on scene, but he can't go into the structure. He can't do anything until there are three other people there.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that go into when you go to a fire. You know, somebody has to drive the equipment there. Somebody has to pump it. Somebody has to pull the hose. Somebody has to get a hydrant. Somebody has to get the nozzle ready to go in. And so there's multiple things that are going on, and people don't understand that it takes multiple people to be effective and actually be able to make entry into the building. We don't even meet that standard now, and this is why we're trying to push this forward to get to that, to where we have the four people on duty every day. We show up to a structure fire, we go immediately to work and don't have to wait. We're still going to have our mutual aid partners coming in to assist because we don't have the personnel, and nobody in the county really has the amount of personnel required to combat a fire. You know, you start talking about summertime heat and all that. It, you know, 10-minute work cycles, and somebody, you know, they need to take a break.
Well, and you get it, as you indicated, if you actually get an actual going structure fire, you have to have two people on the engine. You have to have two people outside. You have to have four people on scene before you can actually enter the structure and start doing anything other than spraying water on it. And we do that with mutual aid, and we'll continue, because as you indicate, there aren't any of the departments that are geared up and staffed up. Even the city of Reading needs mutual aid if they get an active fire going.
Yeah, even the city of Reading, when they get a good working structure fire, if it's just their single-story residence, they almost dump all of their on-duty resources to that. If it's anything bigger than that, or it goes into an extended attack, they're calling for mutual aid. They call for us. They call for Cal Fire, Shasta County Fire. All the surrounding departments help. So, I mean, we do the same thing, but we need to be taking care of our own first at home, and we need the four people on the engine.
Well, and that certainly is a standard that's required in the state of California. Very few places actually have three or four people actually on an engine, which is what we would hope to be someday. That's where we'd like to go.
And like I explained earlier, our ultimate goal is to have five people on duty every day, two on one engine just to go to medical calls, and then have always three ready to go for other calls. We run a ton of calls a day. We average probably 8 to 10 calls per day, about 230 calls a month, about 2,800 calls a year. And that's getting to the point where we're national standard says you should have a second engine available in your station.
And very often we have mutual aid. It's not unusual to have more than one call. You've got somebody on a call, and then you get another call in. That happens on a regular basis, even in the evening when we have our fire board meeting at 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and we rarely get through that whole meeting without a call.
Absolutely. I mean, we're a very busy department. South County is a very busy area. The city of Anderson's busy. They keep us very busy down there. So, it like I said, the district hasn't changed its funding sources since the 70s. It's now 2018. We're looking at all avenues. We've adjusted our budget. We've changed how we do business in-house, trying to stop the bleeding going into the reserves. But we need additional funding, or we're not going to be able to sustain for very long.
So, again, this fee that we're talking about will be placed on parcels. It will be $150 per single residential parcel, $150 per unit for multiple family homes, and square footage for large business complexes. But every registered voter in the district will be able to vote. So even if you're not a property owner, you live in the city, you're a business owner in the city, you have a job in the city, you know that you need fire protection. So we're just encouraging everybody to, if you got one of the flyers, you're a registered voter, got one of the surveys, please fill it out and return it. And then in November, please be thinking about it. And if you've got questions, we're giving you plenty of time. That's why we're bringing it to you now to kind of look at and talk about. We're going to be putting it on the ballot in November. It is going to require 2/3 vote. But I'm asking you to think about it, talk about it with your family members, and try to get people out to encourage them to get out and vote for this measure and help bring our department up to a professional standard that we can all be proud of.
And if you have any questions, if anybody out there is listening has any questions, you can call the office and leave me a message. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Obviously, I'm here right now, so calling the office isn't going to do any good. But you can call. I've been fielding a few phone calls this week regarding this. People have questions. They're all for it. They don't realize that at the end of the day, there's only two people to protect them for fire and medical in the city. So I've had some positives for it. I've only had one person that was negative, and I explained to him how it works and what's going on, and he told me he was in favor of it as long as it's fair for everybody. And I think currently with the $20 for everybody, it's not fair. I think this is going to make it fair for everybody.
Well, exactly. And if you have any questions now, we have a little while left here on the show, please call at 605-4567 if you've got questions about how this is going to work and why it's important to get involved. You know, I know a lot of us, we feel like we just pay too much. Every time we turn around, somebody's asking for more money. Certainly, we live in the state of California. We know that every time we turn around, they're passing a new tax of some kind on us. And we get that. And this was not a decision that the board of directors at the Anderson Fire Protection District made easily. We've looked at every other way that we can possibly do this, and the reality is we cannot continue to exist in today's economy with the same money that we were receiving in 1970. We can't run a fire department that will meet the needs of the city of the Anderson Fire Protection District in today, 2018, getting the same funds that we were getting in 1970. We'll be back after this break, and we'll talk a little bit more about that.
And this portion of Free Fire Radio brought to you by Lee's, Honda, Kawasaki, and Polaris. They're in the same location there, 2230 Larkspur Lane. They've been there since 1967. They continue to offer the finest and largest selection of Honda, Kawasaki, and Polaris vehicles and accessories in the North State. They're going out of their way to better serve their customers. That's an ongoing tradition at Lee's, Honda, Kawasaki, Polaris.
Be careful posting on social media when leaving town for any period of time. With 66% of all burglaries being committed by someone who knows the victim, sharing where you'll be and how long you'll be gone is a sure sign that your home or business is vulnerable. That's all someone from your social media sphere needs to start scheming their way to your essentials. Wait to post those pictures from Hawaii till after you're home, and you'll save yourself some peace of mind knowing your valuables aren't being taken while you're away.
This security moment brought to you by North State Security, an ounce of prevention since 1968. Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
May is First Responder Month, and KCNR 1460 joins with our community in a salute to law enforcement, fire, and medical personnel.
I would like to take this opportunity to thank our first responders in Shasta and Tehama County for all you do. You have one of the most challenging jobs in the world. Joe Rodola from Joe Rodola's Debt Consulting thanks you for helping save lives and protecting our property.
To those who run toward danger when the alarm sounds, a heartfelt thank you from your community and Free Fire Media.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This is Carl Vaught, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting, and Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in the wood, moisture in the stucco would be a couple things to look for, and then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Market Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, That estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio. 8:33 on KCNR. This portion of the program is brought to you by North State Security. You know, they employ over 100 officers. They serve over 200 clients. They are the largest security company north of Sacramento. Well, their client base ranges from Oroville to Eureka. They are protecting both of Redding's airports
Reading Electric Utility, power plants, high schools, you name it, North State Security is there. They can be there for public events or your personal events like wedding receptions and high school reunions. Whether it's a power plant or party or anything in between, North State Security has been Northern California's ounce of prevention since 1968, North State Security. Now, back to Free Fire Radio with guest host Trish Clark.
And good morning, and thank you for joining us this morning, and hopefully you're still with us. I know we've been talking an awful lot about this one subject, but it's an important subject, and certainly with the upcoming fire season right here before us, it's a good opportunity to remind everyone to get out and be sure that you're getting your clearance around your property. Make sure you don't have the high-standing weeds. It's only going to take a few days of that 100-degree temperature till you have that nice wavy green grass, just brown and very hazardous. We're sending out those letters now. We're going around our community down there. And I just want to remind everybody to be real aware of that. Again, I'm going to say it, and again, it happened on my way home. If you still are a smoker and you're driving on our highways, please don't throw your cigarettes out the window. I can't fathom what they're thinking when they're doing that, because especially this time of year with that grass on the sides of the roads, it so easily can start a fire. Again, as you indicated, and if you're towing something and you've got chains on the back of your rig, please be sure you're taking care of that. And don't go out and park on dry grass after you've driven 50 miles and then go park in the middle of the dry grass with your catalytic converter. That's kind of really stupid, too. All kinds of things to be thinking about this time of year, because we know we had nice rain. It's nice and green. It's beautiful. You drive out through the Millville Plains and you drive around all of our North State right now, and it's so green and it's so nice. And boy, 1 week of that 100-degree temperature and everything's brown, and now we're in trouble. So please be really careful out there and thinking about getting those lawns mowed and that grass cut down before it gets hot.
And also remember that fireworks are illegal in Shasta County. Just simply possessing them is a misdemeanor through the county ordinance. So we see fires every year because it started with fireworks, and people always say they didn't know or they knew better. They just did it anyway. So we see that time and time again.
And that includes safe and sane fireworks. That includes sparklers. That includes all of those things that you can go across the county line and buy other places. But they are illegal in Shasta County, and we will prosecute.
In fact, in the news, the Eagle Fire up in Oregon started by a kid with fireworks. The fine levied against him and his family, $35 million.
Yeah, any fire that's caused out of negligence, the fire department has the right to go after not only criminally the person that started it out of a negligent manner or they did it on purpose, but we can also go after restitution and cost recovery for our response and our partner's response. So if we have a big wildland fire in Anderson and we have to call in Cal Fire with all of their air tankers, bulldozers, and inmate crews, somebody has to pay for that. And as a fire agency, we don't have the money to pay for that. We can pass that cost on to whoever started the fire, even just out of negligence. Somebody, kids playing with matches, fireworks, somebody towing a trailer and they cause a spark from the chain, or mowing grass at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when it's 110 and the humidity is 10%. We can go after them for that. So people just need to be aware and be conscientious of what they're doing.
Let's just jump off of this subject just a little bit, and let's talk about a little bit about that whole kids with matches thing. I know you've talked about you're part of a task force that's been really directly working with young children who have bad fire habits. So let's tell us a little bit about that program.
So through the Shasta Arson Task Force, we've formed a new group called the Youth Firesetter Prevention and Intervention Program. And all of us that are on the committee have been through nationally recognized training through the National Fire Academy to understand why juveniles do what they do and to help. It's more of a diversion program. We're not trying to go out there and pinch these kids and put them in the system and give them a record. But we try to bring them in, educate them on why fire is so dangerous. Fire is very dangerous. And through this coalition, we have partners throughout the North State, not just fire and law enforcement agencies, but we have, private businesses that want to be a part of it because they see the vested interest in our kids. So currently, if we come across a juvenile that's playing with fire or has some sort of fire-related problem, we bring them in, we write a report, we turn it into juvenile probation, and through that, Youth Violence Prevention Council gets it, and we do an interview with them, and we have a set of standard questions that goes through the that was nationally recognized, and we determine their level of behavior, if it's just a curiosity thing, or if they truly have something where they're wired wrong, where we need to get them additional professional help. And currently, we only have a couple of juveniles in the county that we have seen multiple times after they've gone through the program, and we're dealing with them accordingly. We have one in our jurisdiction that just... he's not understanding it, and he's been dealt with multiple times and recently cited for a fire issue. But, you know, we have a lot of partners involved in this coalition, juvenile probation, the Shasta Arson Task Force, meaning all the fire agencies and law enforcement agencies in the county, and we all have a vested interest in trying to, you know, divert these kids from making bad decisions.
Well, and I think it's important. I think any of us who have raised children – I think go through that. My fireman son will not appreciate me telling this story, but he had the occasion to be involved in an older boy that was older brother of one of the kids that he was playing with, and then they were playing with matches and they started a fire in the neighbor's backyard. I remember that essentially the fire chief came and got him and had a very stern talk too with him and the other children. And I mean, I'm very sure that they all thought they were going to get put in a hole and have air pipe to them. They were very, very nervous about the whole thing. But it's important that they understand the danger that they, you know, and that was a good learning example for them. I know that if you have somebody out there that maybe you have a problem with one of your kids or you see a tendency, I'm sure that the fire department is ready, willing, and available to come and talk to them and explain to them how important it is that they not go in those behavior
patterns. Yeah, and it doesn't have to be where we contact you because we were called to your house. If the family notices there's some fire-setting behavior or some curiosity, give us a call at the station. We have a pamphlet we can hand out explaining our program, and then we can come do the assessment, and we can get you in the program. It's two nights a year. In November down in Anderson, we hosted at New Tech High School, and we have a coalition of all of our partners. It's broke up into age-appropriate classrooms, and we just talk about the consequences of playing with fire and why and all that. But don't get me wrong. We do have the law enforcement aspect of this. If we have somebody that's truly is intent to go out and maliciously light a fire, we have ways to deal with that, and we will deal with that. People don't understand the fire department. We're actually mandated by law to investigate every fire, have a juvenile fire setter program, and have a way to deal with these people, which is prosecution.
Now, that's another thing that we do. Our chief is one of the members of the arson task force and has actively been involved in many of the arson fires. And we do have. I don't think people really have an idea of how many fires are actually set on purpose.
Yeah, throughout the county, we usually get called out 4 to 5 times a year through the arson task force. And again, you know, nobody can do everything on their own. It's no different with our agency. If we get a large structure fire or a large wildland fire, there's so many other things that go on behind the scenes logistically of taking care of the personnel that are there, making sure that we have resources there to, you know, not only put the fire out, but continually mop up and make it safe for everybody throughout the evening or the next day. But there's a whole investigative aspect behind it. And with the arson task force, we help each other out. Half the time, I don't even call for it. I just get the members of the group that come down and say, hey, I heard you guys had a big fire. We're here to help. And vice versa. So we provide personnel to assist with their fires as well. Just a couple weeks ago, we assisted Cal Fire with a very large fire in Bella Vista. So two of us from the arson task force from Anderson actually went out there for a few hours and just helped them out. They're the ones that take it all the way. We just come provide logistical support, whether it's taking photos or drawing the scene or helping dig through ashes or contacting witnesses and writing a quick report, and then we're back to doing our normal jobs.
Because if property is insured and there's a question as to how that fire started. Each, as you indicate, each major fire incident has to be investigated and signed off before the insurance company is going to pay.
Yeah, and people don't realize that any fire, it's actually illegal to not report a fire. So, you know, we're tasked with that. We have to investigate every fire, whether it's a small trash can fire or these big, massive wildland fires that we're seeing throughout the North State now. So we have the duty to do that, and it's actually required to do it. Unfortunately, it's very time-consuming, but we have to do our due diligence, and we take our jobs very seriously with that.
So a few years ago when I actually had a green nativity ring on my table, and I lit a candle and actually caught the green on fire. Well, I was supposed to have reported that.
Technically, yeah.
I just ran out and threw it out in the backyard, yeah, and turned the hose on it. But
back to the juvenile, if you have somebody that you know is you know, curious about playing with fire. It's not a bad thing. This is supposed to be a positive experience where they get to come meet everybody and see what truly fire can do. And fire's a tool. And we see, you know, the children see the adults play with fire all the time, technically, when they're lighting fires in the wood stove, doing burn piles and all that. You know, we cook with fire. We do all these other things. Barbecues. A lot of these kids are just curious. But we do have the occasional kid where there's just something wrong and we have to get them professional help.
More curiosity than
absolutely
is appropriate. I believe that if you get that the first time something happens bad and can nip that in the bud, most of the kids, and as you indicate, you don't have very many repeat offenders, but usually they get the message after they go through the class. And that's important that it's part of educating our children and being a part of their lives. So if you have some kids that you have a concern about or you know of somebody, this is a program that's available to help educate them and set them in the right direction. Maybe we can keep them from being a firebug. Maybe turn them into a fireman. They can go out and protect the community. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back for the last segment in just a moment.
And coming up on 8:45 on Free Fire Radio on Redding's locally owned talk radio station, KCNR. This portion of the program is brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. They are Northern California's premier retirement community, surrounded by natural beauty and ample recreation opportunities. It's a beautifully designed senior community located near Turtle Bay and Sundial Bridge, as well as shopping in the Hilltop area in downtown. They've got, they definitely go above and beyond to provide a superior and carefree living experience. A gourmet chef provides delicious meals. A full-time activities director has a variety of programs. And River Commons is pet-friendly. See what they can do for you. Contact River Commons Senior Living to arrange a personalized tour today. 530-238-5891. Free Fire Radio will continue.
My name is Sam. I am 19 and was born and raised in Reading. It looks like criminals are taking over our city. There's so many parks in Reading that I played in when I was a kid. It seems now that they're covered with trash and filled with sketchy-looking people. It's sad, but I won't go near those parks. Why can't we do something about this? I hear stories of people walking into stores, taking whatever they want, and walking out without paying, and nothing happens to them. Cars get stolen by the same bad guys, and still, nothing happens to them. Then I learned that the state gave Shasta County $20 million to build an adult rehabilitation center. This was supposed to help convicted criminals learn new skills so they might find a better life. Seems like a step in the right direction, but the county gave the money back. Why?
My name is Joe Comenti, and I'm asking you to elect me to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. Law enforcement is aggressively trying to protect us, but it's time for new leadership at the Board of Supervisors. It's time for action.
Paid for by the committee to elect Joe Comenti.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Rodola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Rodola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings, and over 25 directories and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
And welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This is the final segment of our show today. We've been visiting with the fire chief in the city of Anderson Fire Protection District, Steve Lowe. It's got up to 69 degrees and rising, and they're looking for a high today between 87 and 90, depending upon which weather forecast you look at. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane, our good customer and our good business down in the city of Anderson, 365-3793. Final thoughts about, we're right into the fire season here. We certainly, fires on everybody's mind are going to be very quickly if we don't do some things about trimming grasses and what have you. We've been talking to you this morning about the Anderson Fire Protection District and the need for increased funding. We're still getting the $20 a year per parcel that we were getting back in the 70s. Just simply not enough to sustain a modern fire department in today's age. So we're looking at ways to change that. We've come up with a plan. We've sent out a survey to all of the registered voters in the Anderson Fire Protection District. And again, want to make it perfectly clear to you that even though the half-cent sales tax passed in the city of Anderson, it is being used, as they indicated, for public protection. But that's police and their general fund and those things. They're doing a good job with it. This is by no way criticism of the staff or council or anybody in the city of Anderson. The Anderson Fire Protection District simply is not a part of that mechanism. We're not a part of the city. We're a special, standalone, special district with our own funding mechanisms, a very small portion of property tax way back from the day when those were distributed, when the state was formed and the counties and special districts were designated, and then a $20 per unit or per parcel tax that is collected on a yearly basis, which amounts to about $82,000 to $83,000 a year. And that is targeted money. That money must be used for equipment. It can't be used, even if there was enough of it, to do other things. A modern fire department needs more people on duty. We've been able to kind of stretch it. Right now we're doing some creative things with staffing. That's not going to go on forever. We have a really professional crew working for us down there. You're getting good fire protection service. But we're into our reserves and have been for a while, and it's not going to go on until we do something different. So the board has come up with this plan to try to increase those fees. It would be actually $150 for a residence, $150 per unit for multiple family homes, a per square footage for business owners. It would be fair. Those places that are now getting 30 and 40 calls a week or 20 or 30 calls a week, instead of paying $20 a year, would be now paying $150 per year per unit, which is a much better representation. It still is a parcel fee, but it will be voted on by the registered voters. It is a tax. It is not a parcel fee.
And again, if you've received one of these surveys and you have any questions, contact my office and ask for me, and I will be glad to explain things to you. If you want to come in and meet with me, I can do that too. We're very open about this. We just want people to understand that our funding has not changed since the 1970s. We've increased staffing minimally since then, but we've never had a funding mechanism to cover our shortfalls for the increase in staff that we've had. So this will just bring us up to where we're solvent again, and also increase our staffing to the current standards so we can show up to a fire and go right to work and not have to wait.
Over the next few months, the fire department is going to be out. We're going to try to attend all kinds of community functions. If you're having a group of people to get together and you'd like someone there from the fire department to come and explain this, answer questions, I know that the firemen are available. Certainly members of the board are available, and the chief is available to come out, talk to your group, explain. We're going to be holding some things throughout the community that we want you know, for you to take a look at the great equipment and the condition that we've got it in now. We've been really making some great strides in the last couple, 3 years, and I'm real proud of being a part of this board of directors. We want to maintain that. We want to move into the future and provide the kind of protection to the citizens of the Anderson Fire Protection District that they deserve in this day and age. We're going to need some more funding with that, and I know it's nobody likes to pay a new tax. I mean, your immediate reaction is, oh, my gosh, I'm paying taxes for everything. The reality is, this is we're talking 41 cents a day, $2.50 a week, the price of a cup of coffee. That's what you're talking about to pay for your fire protection. That's not a lot of money, and I know that we always say, well, you know, but it comes on your tax bill, you pay it that way. Hoping that you're just going to bite the bullet, get people out to vote. All the registered voters will be voting on this. We need 2/3. I'm really hoping that you can see your way to clear to get out and vote in favor of this. It's very important because if we don't get this, I'm not exactly sure where we'll go, except that we'll have to reduce staffing and certainly not be able to provide the kind of service that we absolutely need to be a thriving city that we are.
Check us out on Facebook. We have a Facebook, we have a Twitter, and an Instagram. We try to post pictures and updates as often as we can when things come up. So check us out on there. If you have any questions, call the office. We'll be happy to explain. We're always available for questions.
And again, final words about fire season. Please be careful. It seems this balmy weather that we're having right now, but all those of you who've lived in the North State for a long time know that, boy, that turns on a dime, and all that beautiful green that we're seeing right now is going to turn to brown and fire starts. So be careful. Be sure that you're not mowing in the hot afternoon. Once it starts, and try to get out and get a handle on it before then. If you've received a letter from the Anderson Fire Protection District, it's because you haven't done your work, and you need to be doing that. We will be coming around. If you don't take care of those patches, somebody else will, and you'll pay for it.
Absolutely. Our fire marshal is out today doing inspections to make sure people are mowing their grass. We're fielding multiple complaints a day for people not taking care of their property, so we're out there doing that today.
And not only are you endangering your own property, but you're endangering your neighbors if you don't take care of those things. And again, I got to just say to those people that are getting ready to throw that cigarette out the window as we're driving down the freeway, please don't do that. They have ashtrays in cars for a reason. And so please use them, because that's one of the ways that we have those terrible fires up and down the freeway every year. And unfortunately, they spread to private property and go off in all different directions. Final thoughts, Chief?
Again, thank you for having me today on the show. And if you've received our survey, please fill it out. If you have any questions, contact us, and we'll be happy to answer those. And hopefully in November, we'll be talking again about actually passing this tax.
And what number can they call to get?
The office line is 378-6699.
And if the chief isn't there, or whoever you need to speak to, you can leave a message and they'll get back to you as soon as they can. Also want to again remind you of the Anderson Explodes Dinner this weekend, May 25th. That's for the July 3rd celebration in the city of Anderson. Mosquito Serenades coming up in the city of Anderson, be starting next month. In June, and so there's all kinds of stuff going on in the South County. As all of you know, that's where I live, and when I get the opportunity to do the show with for Carl and Linda from time to time, I like to kind of focus on some stuff going on down there. I'm real proud of the South County and the great things that are happening down there. We've got a great city manager and police chief. Shout out to Jeff Keiser and Mike Johnson. The next time I get the show, it'll be their time in the barrel. They can talk about what they're doing. But I enjoy visiting with all of you. Hopefully you've not been totally completely inundated with fire this morning. Hopefully we answered some questions and clarified some things for you. Again, if you have questions about what we're doing, opinions, or just like to talk to us about it, please give them a call down there. and turn out or just stop by and talk to somebody. And all the firemen are anxious to talk to you about it. It's a department-wide effort. We see the need that has to be filled down there, and we're doing everything we can to fill it. Bob Belongi, as always, I don't know what I'd do without you in these shows. You're just my little angel over there doing all of the stuff to make all this work.
I absolutely
panic when I walk in and he's not there. It's like, oh, no, what do I do now?
Well, doing things to get in here and get ready. And this morning I did get here in front of you, although that doesn't take a lot of effort.
No, I'm kind of the mic goes hot.
But I've taken to pulling the top down on the Jeep, and so I'm enjoying my ride in. Hey, speaking of things to enjoy in the closing seconds, of course, Shasta District Fair coming up June 20th, and right now they're taking applications for commercial vendors for the 2018 fair, and we'll be, of course, talking about that a lot during the month of June. It will be the 20th through the 23rd, and, of course, a big tradition, and I was probably down at the fairgrounds before I could, when I was in 4-H, about fifth grade, I think, fourth grade. Anyway, and finally, the Veterans, CVAC, Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council Annual Awards Dinner, is June the 2nd, starting at 5:30 down at the Wind River Event Center.
Thanks so much for joining us the last 2 days. I'm going to take off and do a little vacationing for a while, so Carl and Linda have got it starting tomorrow. I'll see you soon. Thanks for joining us.
And Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR Shasta Reading. News brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. See their newly remodeled store, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Won't be turned around, and I'll